any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll
Hello.
Be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We'll all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I am going to have an unusual show today because there are a lot of videos I'm going to play, most of which are going to be easily intelligible just from the audio. But then when you see the video version on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, you'll get the hang of it. I have invited a guest. We'll see if he's able to make it. I know there were technical challenges. I begin. Department of Justice warns states against violating federal law with audits. This is a clear effort of abuse of the Department of Justice by the Biden administration to try to shut down all the efforts ongoing in multiple states. Arizona, very close to completion. Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin has just declared it's going to do a full audit here too. Laws cited by the DOJ include the Civil Rights Act of 1960, mandating the retention of records for 22 months after a federal election, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, outlining no person shall intimidate, threaten, coerce, or attempt to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any person for voting or attempting to vote, or intimidate, threaten, or coerce, or attempt to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any person for urging or aiding any person to vote or attempt to vote, all of which are prospective, none of which are retro. This is really ridiculous. We're seeing where the Department of Justice has become completely and totally politicized. If you had any doubts about the past, this and a further event I'm going to explain will leave no doubt about it. The reason we're issuing this as guidance is to tell jurisdictions generally we're concerned that if they're going to conduct these audits, so-called audits of the past election, why should they be said to be so-called? They're obvious audits. They have to comply with federal law, warning if they don't conduct these audits in a way that's going to in. They can't conduct these audits in a way it's going to intimidate voters. How can you intimidate voters for an election in which occurred in 2020 when you're undertaking the document in 2021? This is ridiculous. Arizona Senate President Karen Fan, who ordered the audit, reported Democrats have been trying every avenue they can to stop or discredit the audit. I'm sure this will be one of many avenues they will pursue post-audit as well. Republican Mark Brnovich, Arizona's Attorney General, warned Garland in June his office would not tolerate any attempt to thwart the audit, which is widely opposed by Democrats, including Arizona's Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. Maricopa County has moved forward and inspired lawmakers in other states. Pennsylvania Senator Doug Mastriano, a Republican, initiated a review of the 2020 election in three counties after visiting the Maricopa County audit. Legislators and election integrity groups in Georgia and Wisconsin are pursuing similar efforts. It's going to spread. Now, some of you may be observing the massive televised presence of what's supposed to be a hearing on the January 6th intrusions, but it's ridiculous. And in fact, there's a wonderful tweet here why it took so long between January 6th and now for them to do this. They were busy scripting it. Not even kidding. Think about all the set piece moments today, the line about the hitman, the tears, the people sitting behind shaking their heads. They wrote a movie. And he cites an earlier tweet by Jack Posobiec. I told you there'd be show trials and commissions. Pay attention. This is all scripted. Now, here's a segment from a guy named Stu Peters, who's coming on like gangbusters, getting a huge following across the nation. And he and his guest document what's going on here. Check it out. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, if you're paying attention, if you choose to pay attention, there are some hearings going on. Congressional hearings, Senate hearings about the January 6th events that were unfolding. It's all a huge charade. Everybody knows that. And if you watch Adam Kinzinger about 5 minutes after this testimony, you'll see that he was laughing, super jovial, but here he is putting on quite the show.
I never expected today to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held.
Oh, my God.
You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days. How we take accountability for that.
Deanna Lorraine joining us now. Adam Kinzinger, his hatred for Trump. This is all a huge show. I cannot sit here in good faith and allow this guy to continue talking. This is laughable, but it's also extremely maddening because after this event where he's just crying, literally 10 minutes after this, he's jovial, he's laughing. They don't take this seriously. They absolutely know that they are lying. Now, there was also testimony given by some officers that were there. There were pictures, by the way, of one of these officers with Nancy Pelosi on the speaker's balcony. So we basically know what this is, but this is officer, Capitol Police officer, I think it's Finone. Here he is in his little tirade.
The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful. My law enforcement career prepared me to cope with some of the aspects of this experience. Being an officer, you know your life is at risk whenever you walk out the door, even if you don't expect otherwise law-abiding citizens to take up arms against you.
All right, so I've had enough of that. A couple of things here real quick, Officer Finone. You are a Capitol security guard. You're not a cop, okay? And so when you talk about your law enforcement experience, unless you've worked the beat somewhere in, you know, Minneapolis, specifically on the north side or in the third precinct, maybe on the south side of Chicago and Detroit, Philadelphia, you know, some of these major democratically controlled cesspools of criminal violence and anarchy, you are not a cop. And I will line up every single cop that I know and be confident that they will say the same exact thing. This is not a blast on police officers because I back the blue. I support the police 100%. But this guy is an absolute joke. And for him to slam his hand down like that and demand this respect And then he said he doesn't expect citizens to take up arms against him. What citizens took up arms?
Well, Stu, as you and I both know, I unfortunately had to, you know, roll up my sleeves and do the dirty work of sitting through this with my puke bucket so you guys wouldn't have to. But it wasn't a, this isn't a hearing. This was a Hollywood scripted, CIA funded performance. That's what it was. And not even with good actors like Tom Cruise. This was like, these are like C-list actors, D-list actors that they wheeled out. I don't even know where they found these guys from. I don't believe the things that they're telling us. They're all scripted. And by the way, if you watch these hearings, they never look up from their script. They're all reading from scripts. They're all reading verbatim from scripts, and they hardly ever look up. If this is a real heart-wrenching, traumatizing experience for someone, wouldn't they be able to, I don't know, share it from their heart or actually tell it without having to read from a script? I'm pretty sure that that would be the case, Stu. But no, all of them read from a script like good little soldiers. And all of them, you know, went through a bunch of extraneous details about, oh, you know, I was a Black person growing up in America, or I was an immigrant, and then I joined the Army, and then I joined the police force. It was all these extraneous details because that's how they work. The deep state works with sob stories, reading from scripts, and giving these sort of Oscar-worthy performances because that tugs on the heartstrings of mindless people who believe this kind of propaganda. But no, this was not even an Oscar-worthy performance. It's all just propaganda. It is a script. And when you see someone like this Officer Baloney, you know, slamming his hand on the table right on cue, you don't do that. Nobody does that if it's authentic. If you watch this again, it looks like it's just pure acting. And I've never seen
Let's just take a look. Hold on a second.
The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful.
What's disgraceful is the 545 people who have been charged, the 530 that remain in solitary confinement. That's what's disgraceful. The fact that people went there to support the president of the United States, they went there to object to a clearly stolen election as mountains of evidence, waterfalls of proof continue to flood our country, showing that absolutely this was 100% set up and stolen. This entire insurrection was set up and stolen. I know people that were in Washington that live in D.C., that asked me beforehand, they asked me, are you planning on going? If you are, do not go. Cancel. Do everything. Stay away from this. This is a setup. They knew it from jump that this was going to be the setup. Not one person there, not one arrest that was made of a Trump-supporting patriot carrying a firearm. Not one person. The only gun violence that was there was perpetuated at the hands of what I believe to be Nancy Pelosi's security detail, possibly Mike Pence's security detail, who shot an unarmed patriot, an unarmed veteran of the United States military. It's insane.
Right.
That's what's disgraceful.
That is what's disgraceful. But then they go on, and every single one of these police officers gave sob stories about how they're emotionally traumatized from this. Most of them said that they had to take a leave of absence and have had to undergo counseling because they're so emotionally traumatized, scarred, and hurt from that day. And they said that even they've been through tours of Iraq and Afghanistan and wars, and they've never ever, with all their wars and deployments, Stu, they've never been through something as emotionally traumatizing and violent and scary as January 6th at the Capitol.
Emotionally traumatizing, you let these people in. You ushered them in a single file line as people were taking pictures of artwork and whatnot. You were taking pictures with these people. As a matter of fact, I have seen countless videos of people begging the Capitol Police to come and help them, and they're ignoring them because it was a setup.
A friend of mine put a Trump hat on one of them. There's a video of it. He put a Trump hat on one of the officers in the hallway, and he laughed, and they hugged, and, you know, people were hugging. This was not an emergency at the time. They were ushering it in, people in, as if it were a museum. And then we see one of the Harry Dunn, the Black officer, talk about how people were whipping him, calling him the N-word over and over and over again, and how it was very traumatizing for him, and he's still having to undergo counseling through it.
Not buying it. Total lie. Not buying it.
Either. But again, if this were the case, wouldn't this be the most sensational Back to Black montage video that we've ever seen that would totally get their case, that would win favor on their side, if they just released the video? But no, they won't release any of the videos. Where's the body cams? Where's the thousands of hours of footage that proves these officers' testimonies? another officer, that one that you just heard with, you know, with the Oscar-worthy performance, slamming the hand, he said that he was electrocuted over and over and over
again. The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful.
That guy?
Yeah, he said he was electrocuted over and over and over again by one of the militia members. Okay, that would be great footage. I mean, God, I think everyone would love to see that. But it's not any footage because it didn't happen. And if it did happen, please show that hours of footage, but they won't show it.
Are these people going to be tried for crimes for lying under oath? Or, I mean, when it comes out, are these people going to go to prison? Are they going to trade places with the political prisoners that are being held, who went there at the invite of the sitting president of the United States, who remained completely peaceful, who were assaulted and attacked, unprovoked, by people that were dressed as law enforcement officers? Can Baloney even prove that he was there? What about the black dude that said that he was called the N-word over and over again? I mean, other than the speaker's balcony hugging up on Nancy Pelosi, we don't have any footage or pictures of this guy being there. What about Adam Kinzinger? Why are you crying? Were you there? Were you there with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who lied about running and locking herself into an office? These people have repeatedly been caught over and over giving false accounts of what happened on the 6th of January, as I receive actual emails with footage of these people, the FBI driving armored MRAPs and assault vehicles onto the lawns of law-abiding citizens of the United States of America, who were ushered into a building by law enforcement officers and are now being taken, pulled out of their house in the middle of the night at gunpoint and locked in solitary confinement. They're being patted down in ways that are completely offensive and embarrassing at TSA checkpoints as they try to travel to go on family vacations. But because they were present at the Ellipse or at the Capitol building, they are now being treated like they are Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. And by the way, and when, since when did the left start suddenly caring about police officers, by the way? All of a sudden now they're pouring their hearts out and saying, we care about these police officers and their accounts. Okay, we get it. This is a Hollywood production, just as all of this thing is. It's all political theater. And anyone who thinks otherwise needs to check themselves. This is political theater. It's all there is. There's nothing to really waste time on. There's nothing new here. It's still this shrouded in mystery, right? If you actually watch these hour-long hearings, it's shrouded in mystery. There's still no talk about Ashley Babbitt, who shot her, or why she was shot. There's no footage being shown. It's just these wheeled out, quote-unquote, officers giving these traumatizing stories about how they're so traumatized, crying, each and every one of them. And by the way, if I saw a police officer that was crying and needed therapy and time off so much just for a protest, I would be a little concerned about the mental health of this police officer. But yet all of them have shown this, the tears, the crying, the I need counseling after this. What kind of a weak state are our police officers if this were true? But it's not true. They're actors. So again, if you want to see a Hollywood performance, go watch these hearings, the January 6th hearings. If you want to see the truth, go watch Deanna Lorraine and the Stu Peter Show.
Yeah, and the truth is here. She's firing shots over here. Hold on. Hold on. Do it again. Where is it? So the truth here is this. You want to know why Jim Jordan isn't on there? Because he's going to ask those same questions that you're asking, and he's going to ask them on the record. Jim Jordan was going to ask about Ashley Babbitt. Jim Jordan was going to ask all of the questions about where are these thousands of hours of surveillance footage that you claim to have? Where is the film, the footage that backs the testimony of this officer slamming his head down on the table? No, Nancy Pelosi doesn't want that crap because she knows that she was the biggest part of this setup.
They're not going to answer those questions, Stu, because again, this is all just a performance. It's a performance for gaslighting purposes. I hope most Americans can see through them and not waste any time watching this theater. And they're not going to shed a tear over all the lives lost, including law officers, police officers, because of the BLM riots that happened all summer. True riots, real riots. They're not going to shed a tear over them. They're not going to have police testimonies of them. No, this is all political theater, and it ends now.
This whole thing is a phony. This whole thing is a fake. And until they release the thousands of hours of body cam footage, the thousands of hours of footage from surveillance cameras around there, my opinion is not going to change. I'm going to be vindicated. You're going to be vindicated. And so is every single suspicious American and global citizen that has seen this debacle happen. This is a screenwrite. This is a play. This is a Hollywood act. These people that are testifying up here, with the exception of Kinzinger, but he's probably a plant of some sort too. But this guy right
here. The indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful.
That guy is an actor. I swear to God, that guy is an actor. He is a paid Hollywood scriptist. And this thing right here, this is
I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been.
Yeah, BS. BS. Absolute crazy. This is insulting. I mean, this is absolutely insulting that you expect me to believe this nonsense. Just like you expect me to believe these fact checkers over at Lead Stories and USA Today, who are all over me, all over Dr. Ruby about the fact that the graphene oxide isn't in these things. Guess what? Coming up right next after the break, we have an...
Look at that. I mean, this is at Deanna Lorraine with Stu Peters absolutely doing a sensational job. I'm very impressed with what's going on here. And they got it right. This whole thing is scripted. This whole thing is phony. This whole thing is completely, completely, totally fake. And I predict, by the way, this guy, Stu Peters, is going to be a superstar. He's already well on his way. He's going to be sensational, as popular as Jon Stewart in the past. His show has already moved up to something like fifth in the nation. It's going to go higher than that. I recommend this Stu Peters as I recommend Tucker Carlson, because those are the only two authentic investigative journalists on the scene. And this Leanne Lorraine is absolutely sensational. She was so precise and exact in dissecting the total fraud going on. And indeed, it was all scripted. Nancy Pelosi orchestrated. It was to disrupt the discussion of evidence of election fraud. They were nowhere near the point of counting the ballots. So I do think this is a classic CIA op. And we know John Brennan, who despised Donald Trump, has been playing a key role behind the scenes, along with Barack Hussein Obama, who's going to go down as the greatest, most treasonous president in American history, including, by the way, his nullification. The Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by means of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, where the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were taking place abroad, which includes all kinds of staged events, riots, all this phony, phony stuff. That's what you had at the Capitol. That was all legalized by Barack Obama. Mark my words. This man is, literally and figuratively a black bastard. This is a bad guy. I voted for him twice. I mean, I can't believe I was such a sucker and a sap, but the Republicans at the time did not have a viable alternative. So, you know, it's got a lot to do with our two-party system. Once Trump came on the scene, he was a breath of fresh air. Hillary Clinton being such a miscreant, so despicable. If you want to get the goods on Hillary, by the way, and on Pizzagate, go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and check out the 65 stories from a program I had for 6 or 8 months called Jim the Conspiracy Guy. I couldn't afford to maintain it once a sponsor discovered it wasn't drawing a large audience. But I'll tell you, there's 65 shows that you're going to want to watch, including one on Pizzagate. And believe me, you better have a strong stomach, because Hillary's role here is beyond despicable. It is repulsive. Meanwhile, New York City Mayor de Blasio on vaccines, the voluntary phase is over. De Blasio has a message for New Yorkers resisting vaccines. The voluntary phase is over. What is this guy, some kind of medical czar? Since when do these politicians have the right to tell us what to do with our bodies? The obtrusive threat was delivered in response to a panel discussion of vaccine mandates on Morning Joe, where this guy, Joe Scarborough, was a scumbucket. De Blasio began by referencing a major push by the city to get kids over the age of 12 vaccinated. These vaccines are devastating. They do tremendous damage. Even merely wearing masks is bad enough, because it recycles oxygen-depleted air and does brain damage, where brain cells do not regenerate, unlike skin cells. when you lose brain cells, they're gone permanently. It's irrevocable damage. But these vaccines are overwhelmingly more dangerous. If my kids were going to school in September, I'd be running to get them vaccinated right now, says de Blasio, who's the worst mayor in the history of New York City, which has seen some pretty bad dudes. We got to shake people at this point and say, come on now, we tried voluntary. You know, we could not have been more kind and compassionate as a country. Free testing everywhere you go, incentive, free warm embrace. The voluntary phase is over. This guy, I tell you, there he is, Bill de Blasio. And his wife, who happens to be black, is about as extreme a radical as they get. And it looks as though she has siphoned off money from the New York City budget. There are other reports up on this. My sincere belief, I can't verify it personally, but there's every reason to believe this has been taking place. He continued why he believes it should no longer be voluntary. We can keep doing those things, he said, offering incentives. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm saying voluntary alone doesn't work. It's time for mandates because it's the only way to protect our people. Well, turns out the vaccines are the one the real cause of harm to human beings. We have reports of 45,000 deaths within 3 days of receiving the vax, which have all been suppressed. People who are dying from the vaccines at double the rate over like a 6-month period than those from the coronavirus over the 18-month period. And the coronavirus is fake. They're just reclassifying people who die from other causes as if they had died from coronavirus, which it turns out that the CDC has now admitted they have never even been able to isolate. We have the right as an employer to guarantee the health and safety of our employees and everyone they serve based upon his false beliefs about the potency of the virus and the benefits of the vaccine. Considering he despises New York Governor Andrew Cuomo personally and politically, de Blasio's threats over the voluntary phase being over sound very similar. We've got to shake people, for example, sounds an awful lot like Cuomo's recent threat. We have to knock on those doors, put people in cars, get that vaccine in their arm. They think these guys were the new Mengele's of the Democratic Party. It's completely disgusting. Cuomo changed. Here we are. I meant to kill them, but here we are. Go for it.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never...
What happened? Did we lose? I don't hear. Mitchell, I don't hear the sound.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Kurt?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be bringing you in. Is that all right if I use your first name?
It'd be nicer if you use Alan. Can you call me Alan?
Okay, you got it. You got it. You got it. I'm going to try to get back on the server. I'll be bringing you in.
Okay, about how long you think?
Might be 15. I got to get up to a full head of steam here. I did not. Yeah. Stand by. Okay. We'll be good.
No rush on my end. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
Bye. This is Jim Fetzer on the Raw Deal, and I lost the break for some reason, so I'm going to do what I can to play catch up now. But very glad to have my guest on the line. I'll be bringing him in shortly. The situation we have with the with the Justice Department has become even worse because they've now illegally given a green light for employer forced vaccines. Listen to this, very serious. The DOJ just dropped a nuclear legal bomb on America's legal system by summarily declaring employers have a legal right to force employees to receive injections of FDA unapproved gene therapy. This is totally false. Shows yet another federal agency has been weaponized against the American system and its people. The corporate media is making much ado about the Department of Justice issuing a legal opinion that employer mandates of COVID shots are legal. Are they hoping their readers and viewers are unable to tell the difference between a DOJ opinion and a Supreme Court? It certainly looks that way. In a July 6 memorandum for the deputy counsel to the president, the DOJ magically determined there's no federal law that prohibits public or private entities from imposing vaccination requirements, even when the only vaccines available are those with emergency use authorization. Let's be frank. This is the case of one arm of the Biden administration telling another arm of the Biden administration what it wanted to hear. EUA, emergency use authorization status, means that so-called vaccines haven't been licensed for use, but were allowed to be rushed to market due to a declared health emergency by former President Donald Trump. They are still investigational, according to the FDA, and everyone who's received one is part of a massive human experiment. Final say on whether an arm of the government or corporate employee can legally mandate people who get shots will rest with the courts, probably the U.S. Supreme. But the DOJ could not resist the urge to weigh in on the budding controversy or whether employers should be allowed to jump out of their lane and interfere in their employees' personal medical decisions, something that has never happened before in U.S. history. This is nothing but a political opinion coming out of a totally politicized Department of Justice that provides cover for the Biden regime and its corporate cronies on Wall Street, which we all know are desperate to get this experimental serum into the arm of every American 12 years and older. Pfizer, one of the three U.S. companies, granted EUA permission for its COVID vaccines announced Tuesday. It has upped its already exponentially high earnings forecast by 2021 by another 30%. Moderna likewise expects record profits. What a wonder to have a government buy your product, launch a massive ad campaign at taxpayer expense, and then mandate people to get the product. Never mind the product doesn't even work. USA Today quickly scrubbed an NBC News report Tuesday, citing an anonymous source saying vaccinated people are spraying the Delta variant to the non-vaccinated. And CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said Tuesday, we may only be a few mutations away from the virus totally evading the vaccinations. The propaganda campaign surrounding these shots has been unprecedented, not just in America, but worldwide, in spite of the fact that COVID-19 has a survival rate of greater than 99% for healthy individuals, even higher in school-aged children. The DOJ is simply putting us on notice that it will refuse to do its job of enforcing current U.S. law. It won't be filing any lawsuits or criminal charges against employers or government agencies that violate both the U.S. Constitution and federal law by disrespecting the personal bodily autonomy of American citizens. How many times have I observed the mischief occurs between the time you have an unconstitutional practice, policy, or procedure implemented and the time it's reversed by the United States Supreme Court? All the mischief takes place in the meanwhile. There's a good argument to make telling someone they must inject an unknown substance based on an all-new technology completely untested for long-term impact on the human body as a violation of the Fourth Amendment. If the state, let alone a private company, were prohibited from breaking into your home and sifting through your personal effects without a warrant, how is it okay to break your skin with a needle and put a biochemical agent into your bloodstream? This DOJ opinion has absolutely no binding legal authority, but you wouldn't know it by reading the day's news headline. The motivation behind this opinion is as obvious as a toothy grin on Biden's face, to send a message of intimidation to Americans and convince them they might as well give up right now in their fight against vaccine mandates and totalitarian digital health passports. anyone who passed Political Science 101 as a freshman in college knows that DOJ, as a federal agency of the executive branch, doesn't have the authority to declare anything legal or illegal. They are a law enforcement agency specifically set up to enforce federal laws. Who are they to tell us what's legal or illegal? They don't make federal laws. That's the job of Congress. They don't interpret laws, the job of the courts. They are neither a legislative body nor a court. The DOJ, like anyone else, is entitled to have an opinion, but that's all it is, an opinion. It is utterly meaningless other to inform us which federal laws this agency intends to enforce and which law it intends to not enforce. The federal emergency use authorization law passed by Congress more than two decades ago does require that drugs still in the FDA's investigational stages may be allowed to be administered during an emergency, but such drugs must remain optional at the patient's discretion. By the way, I've discovered why they undertook a massive onslaught to suppress information about HCQ and ivermectin. You cannot have an emergency mandate if there are available alternative options, in particular alternative options that are non-invasive, such as HCQ and ivermectin. So they could never have got an emergency use authorization if they'd acknowledged the existence of HCQ and ivermectin as alternatives. It would not have been permissible. Look at the power of the forces behind this malevolent plan, this draconian design, this diabolical effort to compromise our health, our humanity, even our lives. The DOJ knows this. They simply don't want to enforce the law. But even if there were no such federal law, the DOJ has no say over the numerous state laws that have banned medicine mandates and vaccine passports. A few states like Montana have banned this type of medical tyranny from being implemented by both government and private industry, while a larger number of mostly red states have banned only government agencies from requiring people to be vaccinated. Even if there were no such federal law, the DOJ has become a rogue federal agency selectively enforcing laws based on political opinions. But the question remains, why have both Fox and Epoch Times chosen to deceive their readers by suggesting in their headlines that DOJ had just declared the law of the land on vaccine mandate? Either they are completely bereft of understanding with regard to our Constitution and how it lays out the separation of powers in a system known as federalism, or they're involved in the mass propaganda campaign surrounding these shots. Shame on Fox. Shame on the Epoch Times. We expect more of you. Indeed, we do. Meanwhile, Fauci says the virus has peaked for the vaccinated, and therefore we have two kinds of America, those who are vaxxed, those who are not vaxxed. We have the very vulnerable and vaccinated part and the relatively protected vaccinated part. So if you were vaccinated, you were really in a very different category than those who are not vaccinated. But it's really disgusting what he's saying. Here are key considerations. The SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated. The vaccines do not cure it, but suppress symptoms. Those vaccinated are not cured and are capable of transmission. These are not traditional vaccines, which introduce a weak strain. They use mRNA, which performs a feat of gene splicing. The risk of the vaccines is greater than that from the virus. They are only authorized on an emergency basis. Fauci's not saying those vaccinated still need to wear masks. So here's a decision-making matrix we confront. State of nature, pandemic, real or fake. But it intersects with vaccine good or vaccine bad. If COVID is real and the vaccine is good, then you save yourself by taking it. If COVID is fake and the vaccine is good, then you've merely subjected yourself to an inconvenience. So most of those who assume the vaccine is good think they're either going to save themselves or just endure an inconvenience. They have no idea what they're talking about. After all, if the vax is bad, then no matter whether the pandemic is real or fake, you're going to bring about harm or death. Sherry Tenpenny has described these vaccinations as perfectly designed killing machines. We have Luc Montagnier, who is a Nobel Prize-winning virologist, declare, and I only hope against hope that he's wrong, everyone who receives a vaccination will be dead within 5 years. So here's a Biden administration, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, the World Health Organization promoting this absurd situation. We even have a very telling video about what's going on here in the vaccine, something called graphene oxide. I'm going to bring this in and then introduce my guests for a commentary on this and related issues, where there may be a relationship between graphene oxide and 5G. Listen to this.
In the video on the left, we can clearly see a microchip implant at the injection site. In the video in the middle, we can see that the implant is primarily made of graphene, comes out as a black clump at the macroscopic level. But in the world of microbiology, graphene is the building block for nanotechnology. Graphene, like Legos, can snap together and build structures designed by a computer, a supercomputer. And as a superconductor, graphene reacts to EMF fields, which can allow it to spread and grow along the nervous system. What we're looking at here is the first step towards the assimilation of humanity. And as we're about to reveal in our up-and-coming book, The Origins of Skynet, it's super AI that is running this pandemic. That is why we have all of the heads of the big tech companies sanitizing and curating the narrative. It's why you've got the former head of Microsoft, Bill Gates, trying to sell you the vaccine. It's all big tech related, because behind the scenes, it's Skynet running the show.
Let me say, there's so much going on here. I'm grateful to have a friend and colleague of here to discuss it with me. Alan, welcome to The Raw Deal. You can pick up wherever you like any of the issues we've been discussing here. I'm delighted you can join the show today.
Well, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just fine. Very clearly.
Okay. Well, I don't propose to be an expert, but I do have a lot of background in engineering in the area of electromagnetic fields and waves, and I have a highly classified military background. So I spent years with some, you know, very, very special access programs. What I'd like to talk about today is just kind of some basic overview things that to put things in perspective. There's been a lot of discussion about graphene and 5G and tracking people and physical damage from 5G and things that might go together there. And so I got some comments that that kind of maybe put this in perspective. Does that sound like something you want to talk about?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it, okay. Alan. That's perfect.
Again, my background is in electromagnetic fields and waves from a physics perspective kind of thing, and worked a lot of classified programs with reconnaissance data processing and dissemination. And so I've had, you know, quite a lot of background with what you'd call the deep state. When I retired from the military, I was all on my soapbox about the deep state and how these civil servants, SESs, were controlling things and were out of control. So I'm glad to see that that's been heating up, but it's taken 20 years till we got some publicity about it. Well, first, let me talk about physics just a little bit. You know, our reality is a multi-dimensional soup that's constantly moving and changing. You've got chemistry and bonds and energy. You've got electromagnetic fields and waves, light, all the frequencies through our internet and all of that frequency stuff. You've got photons from sound and heat. You've got particles rolling around, neutrinos, different kinds of things, and ions, the ionosphere, the molecules in our body are, you know, changed by all of this constantly. We've got ions, we've got conductive things, we've got you know, EKGs and EEGs that our bodies bring out. So it really is a complicated kind of soup that we're in with all of this stuff happening. So people come at things from electronics perspective or nanotechnology perspective or chemistry perspective. You don't really see it unless you see it all together. And that's kind of why maybe this is good, talking about a material kind of thing like graphene and electromagnetic thing like the 5G technology. At the risk of boring you, let me talk to
you about... You go for it, Alan. You're doing terrific. Love it. Go for it.
Some radio frequency things. We've got frequency, which is the inverse of wavelength. So if you think of a wave as being like a sinusoidal, imaginary, invisible thing that travels, the frequency of that wave as its higher frequency means the wavelength is smaller. So before that little sinusoid repeats, it's smaller. So FM waves from an FM radio transmission are maybe a yard long. That's the wavelength. Things like your microwave, we're going to talk about this, 2.45 gigahertz is what microwaves work on. And they're about, those waves are about 12 centimeters, maybe 4 inches long, okay? The longer the wavelength, meaning the lower the frequency, the more you can penetrate stuff. So TV signals and cell signals and things like that go through walls, go through your roof, you know, go into your basement. So they travel through things. Higher frequencies get stopped by material objects more, like light, you know, sees a wall as opaque. It's a higher frequency. So the higher frequencies, and as you get to very short wavelengths, like light, the shorter frequencies are blocked, the longer frequencies can penetrate better. Now, we got to remember, I'm just going to chase a rabbit here just a little bit. When you think of things that we see things that are transparent, like transparent glass. I see a wall and it's opaque. The light doesn't go through it. And then there's things that are translucent, right? Like my shower door, I can kind of see through it, but not real well. So different materials are transparent, translucent, or opaque at different frequencies, okay? And we can shift those frequencies to things that we can see with our eyes, like surveillance cameras and night vision kind of things. You see IR light, it looks totally dark to your naked eye, but you can see things if you use binoculars or something that are sensitive to that wavelength, then you shift it to a frequency that our light, that our eyes can see. Just like you see pictures of radio frequency of objects in space. We wouldn't see anything, but we've got optics and electronics that shift that down to something that makes sense to our mind, to our eyes. Well, we can image things in lots of other bands. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that government doesn't want people talking about this too much, but we can see through things. You just use different bandwidths and, you know, make the walls turn translucent, and we can see inside houses and inside different places. Usually if you have metal covering, that can't be done as easily. But there's lots of things that can be seen and observed that our eyes just don't pick up on. Just like when you go get a scan at the doctor or an x-ray, those are examples of being able to see things, see through things and see translucent things in between. So there's a lot of intelligence to be gathered from those other frequency regimes that we never talk about. We can also do things like... let's say a radar that's designed to see airplanes. Typically a radar sends out pulses in certain frequencies and we measure the reflection coming back. but the transmitter doesn't have to be built into the radar. If we have a TV station or a radio station broadcasting, that illuminates things, and those things bounce back, and we can see them, and we can track them. So being just a passive device without emanating anything, we can essentially see the whole environment just from proper data processing. There's been a lot of work that's highly classified in all those areas. And we can sense things in different ways, like, you know, I think the Soviets did this a long time ago, aim a laser beam at a window and process the reflections coming back, and you can hear what's being said inside of a building because people are talking, it's vibrating the window panes ever so gently, and the laser can pick up on that and decode that. So there's all kinds of different ways that things like that happen that people don't usually think about. Am I boring you yet?
No. Alan, continue. Okay. Persevere. And by the way, we're going to have callers who are going to want to translate, you know, much of what you're saying to questions they understand, answers they understand better. Go for it.
Okay. Well, another thing then is the radio frequency interacting with materials and maybe devices we engineer. You know, there are radio frequency ID tags. There are power, you know, we've done things like old devices the size and shape maybe of a credit card that can be installed in the bill of a hat. And with no battery or any emanation, if you illuminate that with the right signal from space, it will maybe tell you information about where that hat is, or maybe a message that's been encoded into the hat, or just an ID. So there's all kinds of things that don't have to be powered, but the radio frequency could, interacting with that device, will cause a transmission of some kind or a message to be sent. And so this idea that maybe light hits graphene and free electrons come up, and that's so dangerous, you know, it's a much more complicated thing than that. And we've been doing it for a long time with small devices and interactions like that.
I know when we get to that point that there's going to be a lot of question about potential interaction between 5G and graphene oxide, which is very creepy stuff, Alan. This graphene oxide appears to be perhaps as much as 99% of the content of some of these vaccines, according to various of these reports. So I find it disturbing, to put it most mildly, that there's any graphene oxide in any of these. And there's also, of course, the outstanding issue that the Supreme Court back in like 2012 made a ruling about DNA that, while naturally evolved DNA is not subject to patent, that artificially modified DNA would be, where these vaccines modify our DNA and therefore it would appear are subject to patent. I find that outrageous. That the very idea that someone's DNA could be patented, and it raises question about whether, as it were, the person themselves is subject to being patented or by being remotely controlled. There's a whole lot of issues here we can discuss as we proceed, but I'm very appreciative of your technical background, which is absent from virtually all of our viewers, and certainly which I cannot even approximate to the first degree. Go forward, Alan, please.
Well, you know, I don't know that much about graphene and nanotechnology. You know, University of Wisconsin has a pretty big program with nanotechnology. And when you get down to the atomic and the molecular level, the physics get much different than we see at a macro level. Very weird things happen there. I don't know that much about graphene. I know a little bit. But I'm under the impression that it's not really just a stable thing. And that's why when you say graphene oxide, you know, things tend to collect electrons and fill bonds and not want to be active. You know, we don't find highly reactive things in the periodic table just existing by themselves without us having to maintain that. So I'm not sure that the graphene they're talking about is like a superconductor kind of thing applies at this point in time to just, you know, a piece of the substance in the human body somewhere. I think there's going to be a lot more to it to keep those properties happening, you know, whether it's temperature or pressure or something. I don't think that's a near-term problem. But there's a similar problem that, or similar thing that people maybe should be more concerned about. I'm going to tell you something that I've not heard other places. And so this is not repeating something. This is something first principle kind of thing. There were some reports, and I'm very careful not to discuss or divulge things that I was officially cleared for. We signed papers saying we will never talk about certain things, and I've got a lot of those. But when you work with people with highly classified clearances and doing a lot of different things, there's water cooler talk, or, you know, officers club talk, or, you know, people talking out of school about things with people who didn't have that clearance necessarily. But one thing that came up that was very disturbing, and so I just feel like I need to mention a little bit, was during the first Gulf War. There was talk about, and again, this is firsthand that I've gotten this from, not from anyplace else, about a kind of a chemical weapon. I'm going to call it an epoxy chemical weapon. There's an advantage. There's a nice thing about chemical weapons in that if you've got to kill a lot of the enemy, you don't have to put a bomb every place. You don't have to shoot everybody in the head. Chemical weapon can take them all out clearly without, you know, ruining all the material and stuff like that.
Alan, hold that thought. We'll be right back with Alan after this break. Fantastic stuff. You won't want to miss it. Right.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence.
the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host here on The Raw Deal. We're talking about very, very troubling, disconcerting, profoundly disturbing issues here, such as the desire to wipe out humanity while preserving the physical buildings and resources. One might want to take possession. The neutron bomb, for example, is reported to kill people, but not structures. And what Alan is talking about, therefore, is the use of biological or chemical forms of warfare to take out large populations while preserving intact the integrity and structure of the buildings and other physical resources to be appropriated by the victors, if that would be here, where I am convinced the Great Reset is doing this all-out effort here to kill us using these vaccines as the weapon, where through a massive brainwashing, they've convinced us that the COVID is real and the vax is good, where even if the COVID were real, since the vax is bad, we're going to do harm or kill ourselves. If the COVID were fake, then, of course, it's going to have the same effects either way, since the vax is bad. And frankly, there's really, if you look into it, as I've been reporting endlessly, there's no question that the vax is bad, very, very bad. Alan, therefore, please pick up, and we'll go to the bottom of the hour, and then we'll take callers for the final segment. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, this is just an example, you know, of something that I believe, of course, I don't have the facts firsthand, or I couldn't talk about it. But of a weapon that was used in the first Gulf War that involved doping the whole battlefield with materials that contained nanoparticles, and this doping could be done through breathing, through food, through any way you could get good and bad guys alike to ingest something. Then what would happen is they were able to aim an RF weapon, RF frequency, at what's not very powerful, at the groups that they wanted to kill, and that would activate the nanoparticles and cause a problem between the blood-brain barrier, and you would fall down dead. So everybody's doped, but they only aim the beam at the people they want to kill. Okay. This was supposedly done when the troops were leaving Kuwait and going across the desert, and we wiped them out. Apparently, we had an airplane about 75 kilometers away that illuminated them from that distance, and not a very powerful illumination, about as powerful as maybe a TV signal, but it was just at the right frequency to interact with the particles that had been ingested, and they would block the brain barrier and fall down dead. So the thing I'm most concerned about with that is, supposedly they've never discovered what the cause of Gulf War syndrome was. It could be that those harmless nanoparticles weren't so harmless. They're supposed to be benign, but it was kind of early. So that could be it. And so, I mean, you could conjecture that the whole American populace is doped up, either through our food or through chemtrails or who knows what, in, you know, people who really think about, you know, continuity of government and what if you've got millions and millions of mass casualties and how do you deal with those kind of things. Could imagine if we had large uprisings coming against the government, they would like this kind of a weapon where they could just aim the beam, not have to shoot everybody in the big crowd kind of thing. So that's what kind of concerns me, is that kind of thing might be out there.
Oh, I don't have any doubt it is out there. I don't have any doubt at all. And I've seen, you know, the use of some of the weapons in Iraq where they just a directed energy weapon where they disintegrated the whole car and the contents. They were all turned to ash. You would have thought they'd been subjected to a nuclear event, but it was the equivalent because it was an electromagnetic weapon. And our military has a vast range of these. I have no doubt whatsoever, Alan. Please do proceed as to what you think is going on here. 5G, I know, has become very controversial. We had a health scientist, a professor at Washington University in the state of Washington, declaring that the vast proliferation of 5G without testing it for safety was an absurdity, with which I could not agree more emphatically. And I know that you have views about 5G that may be less cause of alarm, but I certainly believe there's something going on here with 5G that's never been explained to the public. And the idea we're going to be subjected to, you know, more and more electromagnetic fields cannot be good for human beings and other living things. We're getting more and more reports of the long-term studies now from the use of cell phones, when we knew from the beginning they were going to induce brain tumors, but they're so addicting. I think young people today, even if they knew that they were going to get a brain tumor from using their cell phone and putting it up next to their ear, would go ahead and use them anyway. I think they're just that powerful in attraction. In fact, it's a single technological development, perhaps along with television, that seems to me have made a huge difference to popular life and become what most would consider to be indispensable to the quality of their lives, even if ultimately they may bring about their death. The cell phones, not the television. Alan, yours.
Well, you know, I think definitely it is a valid concern about different radio frequencies interacting with materials or small devices in our bodies. In a lot of ways, it's like if you're taking this medication, you shouldn't go out in the sun because things happen. Well, how many things like that happen that haven't been discovered or cataloged or, you know, found out? How many researchers are there, right? So we know that these things can happen. The different FCCs and different people who control the frequency regimes and powers and things around the world, I think, try to do the best they can to make sure that power levels and frequencies are appropriate and safe. But they're just, like I said, there's so much in this massive soup of all different things swirling around. You just got to expect there's so much we don't know, other than, yeah, it really makes a difference. The 5G, there's something that people that we don't usually talk about. People are all concerned about the frequency and the damage. Got to realize that there's a big difference between 5 gigahertz, okay, your Wi-Fi repeater in your house typically operates on 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, two different channels. That in both of them, you know, the 2.4 is the same as the microwave frequency that interacts, you know, with resonant frequencies of water and oil and things. So it's right there. We've got microwaves and, you know, so we're already subjecting ourselves to some of those dangerous frequencies without this 5G. But 5G doesn't stand for 5 gigahertz. It stands for fifth generation. We had 2G cellular, 3G, 4G, 4G LTE. You know, this is 5G. It's fifth generation. It has nothing to do with the frequencies. Okay. It, in different countries around the world, they've allocated different frequency bands for 5G communications. And the thing that's unique about 5G that they don't talk about too much, remember, the lower the frequency, the further you can communicate. The higher the frequency, the faster it drops off in general. So the really thing that's new that I see on 5G that doesn't get talked about is this idea that they'll use from a tower to a phone or a receiver with longer wavelength frequencies to get the distance they need, and then use a higher frequency between things. So what's different with 5G is instead of everybody on their phone talking to the tower, one person might be talking to the tower, and then everybody else is networked on that one person. And so ourselves, well, it's what they call device-to-device networking. And it's called network self-configuration. So if I'm having a phone call in a crowded area, that signal may be going from my phone to the guy next to me, to the guy out on the street, and then he may be actually talking to the tower. So we're all networked, like the board, we're all networked. And what concerns me with that networking is all those phones in that infrastructure know where everybody else is. And think about your phone. You've got, it's got GPS location, maybe you got accelerometer. It knows which way the phone's facing. Now they're making the phones with three cameras on them. So, you know, from one place, you can, from one phone, you can see a lot of stuff. You can tell a lot of stuff from that camera if you're reading all that. Now you take a whole crowd of people, and they're all networked together. You've got, you know, you've got a continuous recording in all angles of the reality that's taking place. Now into the thing that I'm concerned about is this thing called augmented reality, AR. I discovered this about a year ago on my Android phone. I wanted some updates. Usually if you download an app, you allow that app. So this augmented reality baseline came in without my permission or anything. I got rid of it, but I read up on it. Let me tell you what, I'm going to read this off the, just a paragraph here. It says, augmented reality is one of the biggest technology trends right now. It's only going to get bigger as AR-ready smartphones and other devices become more accessible around the world. AR let us see the real-life environment right in front of us, trees swaying in the park, dogs chasing balls, kids playing soccer, with a digital augmentation overlaid on it. For example, a pterodactyl might be seen landing in the trees. The dogs could be mingling with their cartoon counterparts, and the kids could be seen kicking past an alien spacecraft on their way to score a goal. So you can create things. Can you imagine a crowd seeing things that aren't really there through this? From all dimensions. So that's the threat that I that I don't like, is we may not be able to tell what real reality is in that kind of an environment.
Well, we're getting a lot of fake news anyway, you know, like the hearings with that brilliant piece by Stu Peters showing, confirming that the whole January 6th hearing taking place now, being widely broadcast as anti-Trump propaganda, is completely scripted. Having featuring actors, Hollywood has gone, Washington, D.C. politics has gone full Hollywood. It's all fake, all fake. And as I've been emphasizing, Barack Obama unleashed, opened the floodgates to all this propaganda. So what you're talking about, Alan, it seems to me, is an even higher level of sophistication in perpetrating visual frauds. Remember, it's been said, don't believe anything you read and only half of what you see. What you're suggesting is that half of what you see may not be credible either, because they're creating such very powerful techniques of fabrication and imaginative recreation of fictional scenarios that appear to a very high degree to be real.
Exactly. We could all see a mushroom cloud in the distance from different angles. Who knows, right?
Yes, sure. There are all kinds of recreations of, as you say, alternative or augmented realities, and you can see them from multiple points of view, even though it's an illusion. Even though it's an illusion, you can get up close, you can get far back, from left, right, top, down, up. I mean, you're absolutely right, Alan. I have no doubt about it whatsoever.
So, yeah, so my bottom line read on this thing with 5G is, it's a scary thing, you know, it really is a privacy issue. I think there's the inherent frequency issues, but I don't see it this time that, you know, if you were going to try to do things with devices inside people's bodies and do stuff, I'm not sure that graphene and 5G are the way to do it. In different countries, you got so many different frequency ranges that they're using in this. So it's not like one, you know, again, when people think it means 5 gigahertz, that's a basic misconception.
Yeah, I think it's good you clarified that. Now, I have a friend in Minneapolis who's very knowledgeable in these areas too, perhaps not as scientifically grounded as are you. But he took me on a drive on a main drag in Minneapolis, and he had a meter there, and you could see where 5G was just exposing everyone to a tremendously powerful electromagnetic field. And I just worry about the effects of that on, you know, human beings and other living things, Alan. I mean, you're suggesting that whatever threat 5G may represent, it's more a matter of privacy than it is health. Would I be correct that is your stance?
That's my belief. Yeah, I think the whole graphene 5G thing isn't unique to graphene and 5G. That's a, you know, bad radiation problems, you know, from different devices and things are something that ought to be looked at across the board, not just in that one instance, I guess.
Well, I would suggest that graphene is a whole separable issue in the following sense. This stuff is very, very weird. In the video, which no one could see, I mean, it was just growing and multiplying, and it was doing so autonomously. It's like it's a different form of life. It's not a vaccine or a bacteria or a bacterium or a fungus. It's some new kind of weird. Is it living? Is it not? It's self-replicating, it's self-organizing. I mean, these things were just growing. It's weird, really weird. Did you get a chance to take a look at that video I sent earlier, Alan, just in case you had a chance to check it out?
Well, you know, I know a little bit about the nanotechnology stuff just through the University of Wisconsin. And, you know, they do a lot of stuff with carbon and building things at the molecular level. You know, I don't know enough to really be on firm ground as I'm saying. I'm a little skeptical of that video, because the things I've seen, you know, are really, you know, artist sketches and stuff like that. It's when you get down to the atomic level and the molecular level, it's very hard to image that stuff. I don't know, you know, so I'm, doesn't seem like that long ago we really got a picture of an electron, and it's just a cloudy kind of mess, you know. To see things replicating at that magnification, I'm not sure if that's valid or not. I don't know if we can really do that.
Fair enough. What's your assessment on the pandemic, real or fake, the vax, good or bad? What's your assessment overall of the situation we find ourselves in today?
I find it very interesting that as COVID ramped up, nobody got the flu. What, did the COVID kill off all the flu?
Right, nice point. There were 38 million. Just to confirm your point, Alan, there were 38 million cases of the flu last year. This year, there are only like 2,000. So what happened? They merely reclassified cases of the flu as COVID to run up the numbers. And, you know, this is a statistical fear porn. It's absolutely outrageous what has been going on here, to which the American people have been subjected. We know there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, this is the most gross manipulation of statistics we have ever seen in world history.
Well, I really, you know, I'm going back to basics here. I tried to find out what are the total deaths in Wisconsin. And I saw those total death numbers from all sources in 2018, 2019, about 50,000 deaths. But for some reason, can't find that number in 2020 when we had the big COVID thing. We did get some statistics out, and it looks like, you know, during that big COVID time period, Wisconsin had maybe 4,500 deaths. That doesn't seem like a whole lot, especially if maybe more than half of them were from other things that were just potentiated by COVID. So,
yeah, and we had a study out of Johns Hopkins that slipped through the crack that they've sought to suppress ever since, showing that looking at all different age groups, there actually had been no increase in the numbers of deaths from in the past during the period of the alleged pandemic, confirmed by the no increase in sale in oxygen tanks, no increased sale of IV stands and drips. Even it turns out U.S. insurance agencies whose financial solvency depends on their being able to accurately account for the number of expected deaths have made no adjustments in their premiums. In other words, even the insurance companies are acknowledging, in effect, that they've seen no increase in deaths due to the COVID pandemic, which further substantiates my conclusion long since that it's a fraud, that it's a fabrication. And again, I would mention now, for those of you who want to see the evidence, go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org, and check back about the six most recent blogs entitled The 65 Stories, jimtheconspiracyguy.com, and look at the very first, 24th of May, 2020, when I was talking about the pandemic, looking at the mortality rates in 15 or more European countries that they had not increased in spite of the fact we were being told there were vast numbers of deaths, the hospitals were all full. I also give reports there of citizens going to hospitals that were supposed to be absolutely filled up and they turn out to be empty. Nobody's there. I'm telling you, the evidence is overwhelming. So you can check that out for yourself. And then you might want to scroll further down where I have a story about how the COVID and the DNC agenda fit together and where Black Lives Matter and Antifa are all intended to promote the extreme left political program. I mean, it's disgusting beyond belief. Take a look at the evidence, because as everyone knows, what I do when I give these presentations, I lay out the evidence. I give you the evidence before your very eyes. I give you all the reports, the graphs, the statistics, the data. So it looks as though your sense, Alan, is that we're not getting the data because it shows no variation in particular, no marked increase in deaths from past years in Wisconsin. I have no doubt that's the explanation.
But you can't, I don't think you can trust them to break it out or assign cause of death, you know, when it's complicated stuff or, you know, who knows what really killed them. Could have been the flu, but they were already on dialysis, you know. So I think just look at the top number. Total deaths is something you can trust, hopefully. You know.
Well, Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen, who's also an MD, reported how he was astonished when he was asked to classify a patient as a COVID death when the patient had never even been tested. And he was the first to blow the whistle that the hospitals were getting $13,000 for every patient they admitted who was identified as COVID, $39,000 for every patient they put on a ventilator, which is virtually a guarantee of your future death. So that all these statistics are being managed. And talk about the enormity, the power of those behind this hoax to perpetrate. These are people who have access to trillions of dollars, I would suggest, are able to affect virtually every aspect of life. They already have control of the media. That much is obvious. But they also have control of the WHO, the CDC, Imperial College with the Neil Ferguson phony models and projections. Let me just say, by the way, we're going to take callers after the break. The number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air with Alan and me. But I tell you, the situation we're in is about as grim as it could possibly get. I have no doubt whatsoever. And I've been reporting on this on virtually a daily basis now for over a year. I mean, I may have 1,000 reports on the coronavirus and the political ramifications thereof. This is a mass genocide plot. Have no doubt about it. The goal is to wipe out billions. That's right. Not thousands, not millions, billions of human beings off the face of planet Earth in the greatest mass murder ever undertaken in the history of the world, where Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci is playing a key role. I repeat, call in with your calls. Mitchell will field your inquiry. 540-352-4452. Alan is here with me. We'll take your calls. The break's almost upon us. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest, Alan. Today, we have two callers standing by. Bruce from Texas, you're on first. Bruce.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Alan's a very interesting interview, so I'd like to hear more from him.
Good.
Yeah. The only thing I can add to the topic that he raised about the first Gulf War, Desert Storm in 1991, the only release that I am aware of is there was a release of sarin gas due to two bombings of a weapon depots. And those plumes of gas went above the boundary layer of the atmosphere and blew into Saudi Arabia. And alarms went off and what have you. But as far as what he was talking about, I'm unaware of it. But I will say that the maladies that inflicted a lot of the troops who went there could not be explained by simply sarin gas exposure.
Right. That was highly classified. And the whole point was that the material, you know, that people were being doped with, enemies and friends, were supposed to be benign. They weren't supposed to hurt you at all, unless you got the beam aimed at you. That was the concept there.
I understand. Okay.
Except they weren't, so benign, maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who died from Gulf War syndrome. He developed polyps on his kidneys.
Shit.
And they could not control him. He gradually went to renal failure, and he was a scrapping young guy.
I mean, I'm going to get off topic here.
Hey, Jim?
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
You got it.
Are you following the gymnast, Simone Biles, and her withdrawal from the Olympics?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of coverage, and I think maybe it's really fishy because they're giving her too many accolades, and they're blaming it on Adderall withdrawals in the chat forums and what have you. But she stated on the record that she would be vaccinated before going to the Olympics. In her words, "Once it's my time, I would love to be vaccinated, and I think it's good for athletes to become advocates for that." Now, I've seen the videos, and I've heard people talk about even their friends having tremors and having nervous reactions, you know, central nervous system damage from the vaccination as a side effect. And if that affected her and kicked her off the Olympic team, and she was crying, very distraught, you know, I think this is a huge thing. It could blow apart this whole vaccination agenda.
Well, there's no doubt these vaccines are doing tremendous damage and even bringing about death. As I reported, there are 45,000 who died within 3 days of getting the vax that has been suppressed. She's such a celebrated athlete. I think it's entirely possible if she got the vax that she could have been affected. I also believe she's such a perfectionist that if she doesn't hit everything just right, she can become despondent and distressed because of her self-concept and her aspiration to do everything perfectly. So I think there are several issues there. Alan, would you like to add to that before we take our next caller?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm under pressure, as are a lot of people, to get the so-called vaccination, this and that, from family members and this and that. No, you're putting everybody at risk if you're not vaccinated. One of the most meaningful courses I ever took in my college programs was on risk analysis. And Jim, you know a lot about logic and stuff, and you probably know about risk analysis. And that's kind of a life-changing thing. How do you look at things? Like, you know, are you speeding? Why do I want to speed? Well, it's the chance of getting caught and the penalty if I am caught, and you're you know, balancing different sides. And there's all kinds of detailed risk analysis. That's what I've kind of done in my own life on this whole idea of getting a vaccination. And maybe we should go through that, Jim, in a more detailed basis, because I know a lot of people who've had COVID or tested positive, and they're just fine. One of them's a close friend of mine who I hung out with when he was positive. He had a liver transplant and he had no immune system active, all put down by the drugs for the transplant. He survived and got well just fine. A lot of people have survived just fine. But so what are the risks of one in how many ending up with what Eric Clapton had or somebody, you know? So that to me is an important thing. Look at the risk analysis of it all.
Sure, absolutely. That's why I was giving my decision-making matrix, where if you believe COVID is real and the vax is good, you save yourself by taking it. If you believe COVID is fake, but the vax is good, or whether you believe it or not, if the vax is good, you save yourself. If COVID is real, you have only incurred an inconvenience if it's fake. But if the vax is bad, then whether COVID is real or fake, you're going to do yourself great harm or potentially bring about your death. I have no doubt the vax is bad. We have another caller here, Tony from Chicago. Tony, join the conversation with Alan.
All right, Tony.
I'm going to go just, you know, I'll be brief. I'm just going to go slightly off topic here and just say a few things about COVID-19, you know.
Sure. Go ahead.
The death vaccine activism, okay? Okay. A couple Mondays ago, I called in. I haven't called in 2 weeks. I told you I was going to take the don't take a campaign out to the streets during rush hour, you know, in the Chicago area. And I did exactly that on a Monday and Tuesday. And what I found was slightly surprising. The first intersection I was at probably got about a 2/3 positive, okay, on the sign, which read, you know, warning, COVID-19 vaccines equal mass murder, genocide, you know, vaccine, www.vaccinehoax.com. And this is 4x9 feet sign. It's a massive sign. The second afternoon, I went to even a busier corner, and for a couple of hours, got about a 75% positive. And what that told me is, okay, because I'm in an extremely left-wing, dumbed-down dope, okay, inhabited congressional district where I'm doing this at, that I know very well because I was involved in a couple of congressional campaigns on these corners doing the same thing with a congressional candidate. Anyway, what I realize is that I feel that these numbers, you know, that the federal government and state governments are coming out with a number of percentage of, you know, vaccinated is very exaggerated. You know, and that's why we're getting this full court press by the Biden administration and so forth and the Jewish-owned media, you know, to force this down our throat. Okay, there's a lot less people, and I was stunned because, I mean, I was at these vaccination centers protesting, and I saw lines around these buildings of walking in, but it still was a smaller percentage. So That's why we're getting what we're getting the last 2 weeks or 10 days.
Tony, I'm really impressed that you've gone out there with those signs. And I got your second effort. You got like 75% positive. What was the result of your first effort? What was the percentage positive?
Well, that was about two thirds. And you know, like I said, obviously the people driving by giving me the finger are the ones that took the vaccine. You know, and.
Right.
I get my jollies out of that. That's why I'm out there. Because, I mean, I know it's sadistic, but, you know, these people are going with the program. And basically, what I'm telling them in so many words is, you know, you're going to die, a-hole. And they get upset. Okay, now, right now, I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. Okay, got here, this is where my residence is at. I arrived here on Monday. This is a whole different demographic, politically and racially. And I went out on a Wednesday, but I had the wrong sign, so I had to go on the back, paint it up the same one, you know, the mass murder, genocide sign. And I mean, I got like a overwhelming, we're going to be out this afternoon, I got an overwhelming whopping, you know, over 80% positive, 600 hits on the website. And this is just one 60-year-old dude in very good shape with most of his hair. I know I'm bragging. Sitting out on a busy corner for 2 hours, and I generated 600 hits on his site, you know. And of all races, but it's still slightly predominantly a white area, but I had all races that, you know, they're very apprehensive about this crap. I had two people stop. One kid did sell life insurance, okay? He was privy on Kabbalah, and that's, in my opinion, that's what this is all about. It's this whole thing, this program is about Kabbalah and the mass extermination of the Gentiles. That's on the website very glaringly. And he, exactly what you said, Jim. I mean, you know, he had 500 clients. I think he told me 500 clients. He's just a kid in his late 20s. And, you know, I said, have rates gone up? He says, no. I said, did you have any, you know, COVID deaths in your? No. We had some in the office, but they were just labeled COVID, and they didn't die of COVID. So that's in his office. So like I said, the rates, the life insurance rates have not gone. He just confirmed what you're already saying, and I listened to that firsthand. I had some other young girl in her 20s, stopped, very attractive girl. She was into Jesus, and we talked a little bit about that. But I just want to, to sum up, Jim, are you familiar with this site? It's a new site. It's advertised on vaccineimpact.com. Okay, it's a new site, 1000covidstories.com. Have you run into that yet?
Right now on my computer as you tell me about it.
Yeah, 1000. Yeah, covidstories.com. You know, and as I was saying before, I'm stunned that people, even after this latest full court press, and that's one of the reasons why I got my butt down here to Southwest Florida. I had some business to take care of, and I mean, I saw this all coming on this whole latest push, you know, by the Biden administration, the Jewish media, to ram this death vaccine down our throats. And, you know, they haven't been able to figure out a legal way, but you know, a lot of these businesses are going to start firing people based on that memo of the, you know, the Kabbalist Jew-run Justice Department. Okay, so, you know, this thing's coming down, and that's why I got my butt down here. I had some things to do, and I'm just very paranoid. I'm glad I'll be heading back up to Chicago in a few weeks. But, you know, if people are paranoid to do my website, you know, that's very to the point about who's behind this. People are paranoid, you know. You can do my sign, you know, which gets just a totally rabid, stuns people. One dude getting 600 hits, warning COVID-19 vaccines equal mass murder genocide. You could just, instead of vaccine hoax, you can go 1000covidstories.com. Okay.
Yeah, I meant vaccineimpact.com, and they got tens of thousands of COVID-19 vaccine injured fight censorship to bring their stories to the public. I love what you're doing, Tony. I think what you're doing is very courageous and also very telling, very instructive, very illuminating that you're getting that kind of positive reaction from the audience in those two very different environments.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, and I hate to say it, I guess I'm never going to convince anybody to do the same thing that I'm doing. But like I said, the power of what I'm doing, and I know there's, you know, and I'll wrap it up because I want to call it RBN. I know there's unemployed people, there's retired people, there's self-employed people like myself there, you know, that you have no consequences whatsoever to go out and be vocal in public like myself. If this was magnified by 10 to 20 to 30,000 times around the country, you know, this would definitely be a force. I mean, they'd be taking down the websites, okay? Because even with those small amount of numbers in a country of 330 million, okay, the magnification of this is just, I can't get people to do it. I mean, I'm emailing Jeff Rentz. I get no response. Richie from Boston, the guy that got kicked off of YouTube, I was trying to, you know, email him, dude, push my site, push the program, because you got all these people with large audience. They're complaining. No one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. Well, I've been on the street for a year. I've been doing overpasses. Up in Chicago, yeah. By the way, no one did. It would these people would not be making their move on us. There's no opposition in this country. Yes, there is going to be big opposition. There's big opposition in Europe, and hopefully the French government is going to be forcefully overthrown in there by the end of the summer. Yeah. I see it coming over there. Those people got balls over there. They're not a bunch of cowards like in this country that are going to sit there and get killed or get their rights taken away because they can't get their ass out into the streets. But anyway, that's a great site for people that are peering about the, you know, the J thing. Okay, is that they're out with a URL that's talking about the J being behind this whole thing, which they obviously are. And you were talking about that yourself, Professor, on Wednesday. Okay, but you know, you got the site 1000covidstories.com. I don't know what people are afraid of. Stick that on the sign. You're doing, you're doing a noble cause, and you can't get someone coming up to you yelling and screaming that you're anti-Semitic, which doesn't exist anyway.
Yeah.
But Tony.
Alan, did you want to comment? We got two other callers standing by.
Just real quickly, I think it's important to have compassion for people who have taken the shot. Because they don't have a choice to undo it now. Those who have it, we can.
I don't care about them.
And so we need help. You know, we're getting closer to, you know, upheaval and civil war kind of things when it's up against them. And people, it's just naturally to try to justify your decision.
Yes.
I can't be worried about them. I'm trying to save the rest of the people that haven't taken it, and hopefully they'll have an antidote. They made their choice. I don't care about these people. I don't care. They made their choice.
I'm very impressed. I love it. Thank you for calling. We got two.
I wish some people would follow that. Thanks. I'm going to hang up now. I'm going to go to RBN. Thanks.
We got two regulars on the line. We got Paul from California and Chicago Brew. Paul, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
All right. Big Tony taking over the show. Love it. Yeah, Tony, you know, I too admire what you're doing. Just the thing with me, as I've mentioned before, I don't really care that much anymore. In fact, you know, all these dummies lining up to get the shot, they can do exactly what they want, and whatever happens to them, it's not my concern. And I got to be honest with you here that a lot of these people are, they're mask believers, they're virus believers. I see them all the time here in California. I've interacted with many of them. They're the same type of people that would tell me I got to wear a mask in the store. The same type of people would tell me I'm putting their health at risk. I've been through it myself. I've seen it on YouTube. As I said before, I'm sorry, but these people can just go ahead and die and get out of my way. So quickly, I'll just mention what was said earlier. Your guest, Alan, mentioned about he had COVID or somebody he knew got COVID. And I hear this all the time. There's no such thing. You can't get COVID because I don't even know what it is. They don't even know what it is. They've admitted on multiple occasions they haven't isolated the virus. So if you haven't isolated any particular novel virus that they're calling COVID-19, how can anybody get COVID? What is it they're testing for? What is it they're vaccinating for? The whole thing is an op. One more comment, and then I'll cede the floor to Brew. Always look forward to hearing from him. The bottom line is you can call it what you want. You can call it a decision-making matrix. You can call it risk assessment or risk analysis or any other thing. I think it's crazy. 10 years at least before I started calling on your show, Jim, I was telling anybody and everybody I knew that all vaccines are Jew poison. I usually enjoy putting the modifier Jew in front of the word poison because we have to describe what the problem is. If you're not naming the Jew, which to your credit, Jim, you did very well the other day on your show when you talked about all these people in government, all these people in the vaccine companies, all these people in the media. How many Jews do we have to see before we're all aware and awake that it is the Jewish agenda to do us in? And all you need, if you really want to know about the Jew poison, is just take in Suzanne Humphrey's work, Shattering Illusions. There's more to it than that. She doesn't particularly name the Jew, but it's all there for you to see. All right, thanks for listening to my little rant. Great. I appreciate it, Jim.
Great points, Paul. Great points. What's astounded me is how much the Jews differentiate themselves from the whites. They're actually conducting an attack on European and American white civilization. Is just staggering in its proportions. Chicago Brew, I'm so glad to hear from you, my friend. It's been a while. Give us your thoughts. Brew. Brew, are you here, Mitchell? Did we lose
Brew? I don't
know.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
You can't hear me. I was trying to get on while Tony was on, but he said he mentioned that he emailed Jeff Rentz. Well, last night, Jeff Rentz had Dean Henderson on. And Rentz and shared his
before. Brew, you're breaking up. Repeat what you're saying. Dean Henderson was on with Jeff Rentz last night, and what happened?
That's right. Jeff Rentz proceeds to say, people say that I never say anybody's out there protesting and whatnot against all this stuff. And then he said, but I did get an email from a guy named Tony in Chicago. And he is out there doing all this, the signs and so forth, and has been for the past year. And he actually read off vaccinehoax.com. And so Jeff Rentz did respond to Tony's email.
Good. I'm sure Tony's delighted to hear that. That's wonderful. Well,
Well, apparently he's not aware of it because he just said that Jeff Rentz never said anything. But last evening with Dean Henderson on, which was a good guess. I haven't heard from Dean Henderson in a while. And that's what he said.
Brew, we got it. We got it. That's terrific. Tony will be thrilled. Give us further of your thoughts.
I don't have much more thoughts these days because everything is just still a lot of gaslighting. Look, you know what's going on here, Jim? Here's a big deal. You know, you guys all did. What was your September 11th group? What was the name of yours?
Scholars for 9/11 truth.
Right. And then you had the architects and all these other ones, and you have all the people with their different opinion that no one could ever, you know, they're all trying to figure out what took the buildings down. Were there planes? Were there no planes? What was the devices there? Was it a micro nuke or thermite or directed energy weapons? We're in exactly the same situation with this whole mess because everybody wanted to have their little differences and, you know, they're infighting that nobody could agree. But the whole bigger picture, the whole big scene is the actual event itself, that it was an act of aggression against our country, enemies from within and from without, a big conspiracy. They colluded. They succeeded. They harmed thousands that day and millions ever since for the last 20 something years. So here we are in the same exact situation 20 years later.
Most of that is generated by limited hangouts. You got architects and engineers on the one hand and Judy Wood and Dews on the other that won't even talk about who was responsible and why and give inadequate explanations of how it was done. So they're there to deliberately create confusion. I did a three-parter on with Scott Bennett's new show, Great Awakenings, on AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. You can find it on my BitChute site, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. There's very little doubt about what happened here, apart from some minor details about how the buildings were destroyed, the Twin Towers used nuclear devices.
I get it. You're missing my point, though. Look, we can all agree on this. There's a conspiracy that doesn't make, you know, a bunch of people and their lies day after day from the media. They call it a rollout. When they think about it, they rolled out coronavirus. Coronavirus just didn't happen. This COVID-19, they rolled it out, starting in China with the help and collaboration of the UK. United Kingdom, together they both put out propaganda of people collapsing in China, images made in China, and nobody knew what it was, so they didn't know how to respond. And then, boom, it was a big media campaign that hit the entire world all at one time.
They rolled it out at the London Olympics with the opening ceremony. It was all an ode to coronavirus. It was outrageous and stunning. Brew, if I don't turn to Scaredy, she don't want to get a chance at all. Scaredy can't join the conversation. Scaredy.
Hi, Brew. Thanks, Jim. And hi, Alan and everybody else. So quickly, about something very simple. So there are these huge problems and ever more rapidly changing and sophisticated technology. But simple thing. Is it still better to use a landline telephone in terms of electromagnetic pollution of the environment and not murdering our little brothers, the butterflies and so on?
Yes, obviously, yes.
And the second thing is, can you get together with some of your engineering buddies and start a tiny company making maybe a tiny little tricycle or a bicycle so that, you know how we press the button and again electromagnetic signal just to lock the door, which before we could do with the metal key by turning our wrist. So it's a big project to make a car without these false computer signals. By false, I mean like bad computer signals to make a car all in one step. But can we just make a little something bicycle tiny and then work up to a little tricycle car?
Scaredy, I wish there were time to go into that, and I'm sorry you didn't have more time today. Call in earlier. I'll get you on sooner. Alan, you did a spectacular job today. I can't thank you enough. All the callers were terrific. Bruce and Paul and Tony and Brew and Scaredy, you're all wonderful. Spend time with your family and relatives as much as you can, because frankly, in these days, we don't know how much time we have left. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday right here on Revolution Radio.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Thank you.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.